Welcome to That American Football, powered by EP Sports. EP Sports is one of the top suppliers in the UK for all your NFL merchandise. Check them out today at epsports.co.uk. Another weekend full of games, a full four set last weekend. Some really big performances and some very close games, which we'll go through in just a moment. If you do enjoy our content, please remember to just give us a like and subscribe on your chosen listening platform. It does really help us out. Thank you. Bit of news around the league, though. So I only just saw this, actually. It was just released by, newsletter. But the Dragons have got rid of more coaches. So Ricky Lang is no longer the defensive backs coach, which is odd because they've probably got one of the best defensive back units in the leagues. Additionally, Joe Pau Pau is out as the OC and quarterback coach. Patrick Wenning, who's the running back coach, is now the offensive coordinator. And they've also signed a Spanish coach for the linebackers. So, I mean, they've just removed so many people recently, and it seems to be working, I guess. Look, I think they're making the right moves because they always seem to be improving.
Yeah, this is the thing. I mean, they've changed these people officially. Do you reckon that there's been a lot more sort of going on behind the scenes, people's roles slowly changing and people having input, and now they've just gone and made the official cut? It's got to be, because you say the quarterback coach and the OC has gone. That, you know, that offense has started to really start ticking in the last few weeks, and it just makes me think that maybe they've had a bigger role in the offense than we previously knew, and now being made the main guy in charge.
Coaches especially, maybe it's nearing the start of the college football season. Maybe some of them are going back to America if they get offered jobs back at home. You know, you've been away during the pandemic, and then college in America calls and says they need a running backs coach.
I'm sure they must have something in their contract letting them just leave halfway through the season, because it's saying they're no longer the defensive back coach. So, and he's out as offensive coordinator. So it sounds like they are being removed by the management.
A couple of them said personal reasons, not just these ones, but other ones before. So, you know, I don't know what the coaches' contracts are like and whether they do have a clause in it that they can leave whenever they want, like any job, really. You just say, right, I'll give you 30 days' notice. Off I go.
Yeah, it's certainly interesting. Maybe it is a case of they're over halfway through the season. They've realised this is what they need. And half the people they hired when they first went into it just weren't providing it. Because they also signed a guy out of Italy as well, previously. Nothing like that. But yeah, that's all the major news for this season. It's a bit nice to not have to do the rigmarole of all the NFL news each time. We've got eight teams to look at. So yeah, without much to do, let's just get into the games. That's why you're listening. So, first one is the Cologne Centurions versus the Wroclaw Panthers.
Yep, and that's me. So this one finished, it was very close actually, finished Centurions 33, Panthers 31. Any doubts people had about Madre London not being able to repeat his performance of the first three games were totally blown away against the number three ranked team for me, the Panthers. He ran 39 times for 320 yards and four touchdowns. I'll come back to him in a second. Panthers took the lead early in the first quarter. O'Connor connected to Bartos, and the game would play out as a battle between the two offenses. There were five different lead changes throughout the game. Madre accounted for all four of the Centurions' touchdowns. Centurions clearly had seen a weakness in the Panthers' run defense. The quarterback only attempted 23 passes, and Quentin Pounds, he only got 40 yards receiving, which is really rare for him because he's normally had pretty good games. Lucas O'Connor, he again had a good game despite losing. 21 for 37, 291 yards, two touchdowns and an interception. There was also, this was one that kind of slipped us by, I think. There was a good debut for the Panthers' new kicker and punter. So he does both. His name's Taj Leader. He's a former professional rugby player. He kicked two field goals, 41 and 30 yards. He missed another one. He had seven kickoffs, averaging 61.9 yards, and three punts, averaging 29.3 yards per go. So he was kicking in the Spring League in America. He got a bit of attention. They covered it a bit on PFF. And he signed, I think it was last week, and went straight in seem to fit right in. So he's one to watch out for, I think. The result was a bit of a shock, as we all had the Panthers as the number three by a long shot, I think, and then the Centurions at the number four in our seedings. So that was a bit of a shock. So it actually shakes the playoff picture up a bit and makes the league a little bit more interesting. I'd say now there's a set of four teams that are competing above the level of the other ones. For me, obviously, I can't do anything but give the MVP of the game to Madre London, 326 yards, four touchdowns. Panthers now have a bye week, they're 3-3. And Cologne, this would be interesting actually, play against resurgent Dragons, and Cologne are now 4-2.
Yeah, I like it. I like watching Madre play, so really happy with the result.
Yeah, I was going to say there was one clear moment in that game where there was an interception, wasn't there, from Centurions, and the game just seemed to completely turn on its head. And I think in these two, and you mentioned it, you know, we had the Panthers sort of third. I think Adam might have had them second at some point as well. But we did think that gap was massive. But I think as the league's going on, you know, when teams are fully fit and fully going, it shows that anyone can, maybe not anyone can beat anyone, but in that middle region, it's a lot tighter than I think we sort of expected.
Yeah. I just thought that Madre was slowing up a little bit. In the last two games, he had just over 100 yards, where he'd been averaging over 300 yards. And then he just comes back with this sort of performance. And he's actually got the second most touchdowns of any player in the league, including quarterbacks. It's only Lucas O'Connor who's got more touchdowns.
Okay.
And that's ridiculous for a running back.
Yeah, I think what you were saying, Joe, like, that I think Wroclaw, Hamburg and Frankfurt, I guess you can't even say were league ready to get off with, but Hamburg and Wroclaw definitely were. And you're seeing the teams are now starting to kind of get their footing and understand the level of the game.
Yeah.
They're replacing things that aren't working. Because, I mean, you can see clearly with Cologne and Barcelona and the other teams, they've had games where they've looked really good. We'll move on to the second game, though, which was the other very close game of this weekend, which was Hamburg Sea Devils against the Barcelona Dragons. So it was in Hamburg. It was horrendous weather when it kicked off. It was absolutely pissing it down. It was windy. And I was thinking, like, Barcelona cannot do this with their passing offense. And yeah, I mean, straight away, both offenses were really struggling. Xavier Johnson, Sea Devils running back, was out on injury, so wasn't helping their offense either. And like I said, Barcelona thrives in the passing game. I mean, Gene Constant in the first like couple of minutes was just dropping these short passes because it was just impossible to even catch the ball. Having said that, Hamburg did make their way into the red zone, but it was a tipped pass. At this point, the rain had started to calm down, which is why the offense was again going. It stopped, actually. But yeah, tipped pass was intercepted by Luke Massaro for the Dragons. But it would ultimately lead to nothing, and both teams traded some punts before there was a good Hamburg drive. And then Phil Anderson, the kicker for Hamburg, he got his first field goal for 46 yards. The Barcelona would then counter with an excellent return by Gene Constant to the 27-yard line. There was a weird flag on the play for tripping, and I didn't even know tripping was a penalty, but yeah, they got some extra yardage on that. But the offense is stalled and it set up a Tavecchio field goal, 43. Fortunately, in the first quarter, British lineman and elite lineman in the league, Keanu Ebanks, would be injured in this quarter. But we do have him coming on the podcast next week, so keep your ears peeled for that. Going into the second, Sea Devils dinked and dunked the way up the field. And then Nico Lester, I think he's the top-rated cornerback in the league right now. He's phenomenal. He took an 80-yard, took an interception 80 yards to the house, which made the game 10-3. So Dragons had the first lead, and I was super excited. Hamburg would reply with a couple of big plays down the field, and a 44-yard touchdown to Madden Cerezo. Found some opportunities and made them quickly, making it 10-10. And then Barcelona would respond again with a couple of long passes, and it would ultimately go for a 42-yard field goal. Then was a penalty on the Hamburg defense, turned this into a 12-yard first down. So Dragons really got a lot of luck out of that one. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I don't remember being an obvious penalty on that play. But Zach Edwards did have a really nice scramble into the end zone for that 12 yards, and he did a, it was a pretty brutal hit into the end zone. So yeah, and going into that half, it was 17-10 to the Dragons, which not a lot of people would have thought. Going into the second half, the teams would both trade some punts, but these punt drives did have a lot of interesting plays on. Included a Justin Rogers interception that was called back by two offsetting penalties. There was a sack inside the Dragons' 20-yard line by Kasim Edebali, one of the star defensive players for Hamburg. And there was another Nico Leicester interception, so he's two on the day. Edebali and Leicester were actually both injured in this quarter as well, so it's really bad news. It was two big blows for both teams. And then Hamburg would recover a forced fumble quite close to the Barcelona goal line and get a field goal from Anderson again, the second one of the day. Dragons would then punt again, and Hamburg would get into scoring position again. But, I mean, this game, if you haven't watched it, J.J. Clark was under a lot of pressure. So, yeah, he couldn't really get much going outside of the plays he did get. And so Anderson would go for his third field goal of the day for 32 yards. So going into fourth quarter, Barcelona, I've got Hamburg into Hamburg territory. But Justin Rogers gets an excellent pick at the 22-yard line. If you haven't listened to the interview of him, check him out because he was a lovely guy. So, yeah, the Dragons' defense, I mean, I can't fault the Dragons' defense this entire game. Like I said, they made it hard for Jadrian Clark and they made a lot of plays. But the Hamburg offense was pretty tenacious. They got a very fortunate holding call on a third and long. I think it was a third and 20. So that gets the offense going again. They got a big 28-yard run by Hummel. That was called back from the touchdown. And Anderson would kick his fourth field goal of the day to make it 19-17. The lead is slipping away. Hamburg, you could tell the crowd was into it now. They were really, really loud. It was really fun. Defense made Barcelona punt again. Jadrian Clark would then again get into scoring range. And again, Anderson would have to take the field goal, making it five field goals on the day. I mean, there was only a couple of minutes left at this point, and Zach Edwards was in kind of desperation mode. There was a sack. There was a bad snap, which lost 19 yards. I think it was like four from along. And just led to an interception, as it sometimes does, just lobbing it up for hope. But yeah, that would cause the Hamburg team to ice the game, 22-17 to Hamburg. It was a proper good game down to the last couple minutes. MVP for this one, I'm going to give it to Anderson, the kicker. I mean, five field goals, like even in the NFL, that's a good kicking line. And he literally won that game for the team. And my honourable mention, I didn't mention him at all during the read-through, but I was looking over the stat sheets, and Mike Tavares, one of the defensive tackles for the Dragons, his stat line's crazy. 10 solo tackles, 11 assists for 21 overall, 1.5 sacks for minus 13 yards, and 5 tackle for losses for minus 21 yards. So that's really, really good performance by him on the day. But yeah, I was really happy I got to watch that game.
Yeah, it looks like it was a good game to watch. I think if you look at the stats, Hamburg's problem was the red zone. Because as you said, they just got kicks. They were 0 for 5 in red zone opportunities. And I think the touchdown that they got was a long touchdown. Barcelona played them close. It wouldn't have been surprised if Barcelona had won this game. But it's what champions do. They grind out these difficult games and win them. And as you said, Hamburg got banged up quite a bit. We were messaging, as you mentioned, Adam, Keanu Eubanks, and he said he's going to be okay. He's a bit banged up, but he's going to be okay.
Yeah, and I think if you had told any of us, like after week three, that the Barcelona Dragons were going to run the Hamburg Sea Devils close or even be up at half time, we would have called you mental. And I think it just shows how far this team has come. And they're one of the feel good stories of the league. You know, the Dragons are just getting better and better, and I hope that they just keep going that way.
Think it shows our pedigree as analysts, because all of us have said Barcelona are better than their records.
I'm locking in. I've officially chosen Barcelona as my team.
Have you? Yeah.
I haven't chosen a team yet.
I need to get Zach to sign me a jersey. Joe, you had the next game up, though.
Yeah, so I had the Leipzig Kings and the Berlin Thunder. The Kings won this 37-24. Most of us had these teams as the bottom two in our power rankings last week, so it was kind of interesting to see them go head-to-head. For me, the most important takeaway from this is that, like, this offense is completely different with Michael Birdsong at the helm. Like, the Kings were shut out by the Sea Devils last week, and they were scoring freely this week, and the difference was Birdsong. So it's clear that, you know, all the Leipzig fans are happy to have their number one guy back. The first quarter was actually scoreless in this one. The Kings got the scoring underway in the second half. Second quarter. God, remember, this is American football, not English football. It was a lovely lofted pass from Birdsong into the hands of Nuttall for his first of two touchdowns of the day. And all the touchdown passes that Birdsong did were just sort of just inch perfect right into his receiver's arms. It wasn't long before the Kings had got the ball back, and after a big 32-yard run by Agumon, he ran the ball from the 2-yard line on the next snap in for a touchdown. They successfully converted that 2-pointer to make up for the missed PAT earlier, making the score 14-0. The Thunder then, like, they showed what they can do after a great run by Jock Crawford, who, you know, he's having a fantastic season. And I feel as if it's sort of been, his season's been very underrated because Madrid London has just been on an absolute mad one. Like, if Madrid London wasn't there, everyone would be talking about Jock Crawford being this superstar. And he's having a great year, and he continued in this game. So after that run, it was set up for Zerbe, who actually started the game at quarterback. Calvin Stitt wasn't starting this game. I don't know if it was a bit of a change-up. I'm not sure if there was any injuries involved. But that's what they went for. They went for Zerbe straight away, and he threw the ball calmly to Shontavious Jones for his 9th touchdown of the season, which for non-quarterback players is the second most after Madre London. So Shontavious Jones is having a cracking season as well. On the next drive for the Kings, Birdsong, he felt some pressure. He moved into the pocket and threw another great 36-yard pass into Alpha Jallo, who went in to score. The Thunder then went 3-and-out, allowing the ball to be back with the Kings quickly, and the Kings scored again very quickly. 20-yard pass from Birdsong to Nuttall, Nuttall's second. Birdsong was fully in his groove by then. It was almost as if he hadn't been missing for several weeks, and then at halftime the game was 27-8. So the Kings were kind of running away with it at this point. And at halftime, this is where the Thunder made a change. They took Zerbe off and they put Calvin Stitt on. And just like the first quarter, the third quarter was also scoreless. So two scoreless quarters in this game. However, right at the beginning of the fourth quarter, Agumon for the Kings had a fantastic 24-yard run to put his team out of reach in this game. The ELF have credited this touchdown to Templar. I was having a watch on the highlights to make sure, and looking at the score, what was going on, they noted it down, but they noted down as the wrong person. So I'm giving Agumon, I'm putting some respect on his name and giving him that second touchdown. After throwing an interception, Calvin Stitt was thankful that his teammate Jamal White recovered a fumble from Templar to have a shot on a short field. After another great Crawford run, Stitt took the ball himself on the next snap, running in for the 5-yard rush touchdown. This 2-point conversion to Drossard was good, making a score 35-16. What I like most about this Thunder team, I sort of came out as a Thunder fan, but they are the team I do admire and like the most. I just find them quite exciting. I think they've got a lot of superstars. And what I also like about them is they don't give up. They, even if they're down heavy, they keep on going to the end. And I think a lot of their superstars are the reason that they do this. Jamal White, Shontavious Jones, Jock Crawford, Calvin Stitt. They do put in 100% effort all the time. After a great deep ball to Zerbe from Stitt, so throwing to his other quarterback, it was set for Stitt to rush in for his second rush touchdown. The 2-point conversion was good again, which made the game 35-24. Were the Kings a bit worried at this point? We'll never know, because unfortunately that was the last score for the Thunder. Towards the end of the game, the Kings punted to Jones, who he collected the ball sort of about 3 yards out, and he was running and he was getting tackled, and he kind of panicked and threw the ball to his teammate into the end zone, who got taken down, which resulted in a safety. So that was the final score. It was 37-24 to the Kings. The Kings face the Surge at home next week, whereas the Thunder have a bye. My MVP for this, I've mentioned him about 4 to 5 times, is Birdsong. you know, 30 for 52, 328 yards and three touchdowns. I do want to give a special mention to Kyle Kitchens of the Kings. He had four tackles for loss and a sack. So, of course, offense went off very well, but their defense was also very solid in places also.
Yeah, that Shontavious Jones play was very questionable.
It was just, it seemed panic stations, didn't it? That's all I could think.
We need to do something to try and get the win. So just lobbed it to a guy not expecting it.
The Kings are just a completely different team with Birdsong. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks. He clearly is the most valuable player on that team because the team's completely different when he's playing.
Yeah. And then they're not out of the playoff running at all, the Kings. They still have a great shot because they're effectively one game. If they were to win, and the I think the Panthers are on a bye next week, but if they were to win and then Panthers lost their next game, they're level. So they're fully alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. So Joe, as a Thunder fan, do you prefer Zerbe or Stitt starting?
Stitt. Okay. Yeah, it's got to be Cavan Stitt. Not just because we know him and he's a lovely bloke, but the team just seems different. And he won the offensive player of the week for the Thunder as well. And I think that shows if he played a half, he's quite a key player for this team.
I'd reiterate something Joe said there as well, is if you're watching the game and you see someone score a touchdown and then the official stats show something different, believe your own eyes, because the stats do have mistakes. Sometimes if a new player comes in, they still put the name of an old player in. So
is Aaron Ellis, has he got a name yet?
No, they're still calling him the wrong name.
So who's the Tafts MVP of the week?
Ooh, we got one more game to go.
We've got one more game.
I'm so used to the three game.
We've got to be
behind
fair.
The curtain, Adam said, what was it, about 3 hours ago, oh God, there's four games. So I knew you'd do that.
I completely forgot.
To be honest with you, it's a pretty missable game.
Go on, do you want to tell us about it?
Yeah, Frankfurt 57, the Surge 3. So Frankfurt obviously listened to this podcast and they heard I had them ranked number 2. So they decided to go out and absolutely slaughter the Surge 57-3 to prove that they're the number 1 seed. Frankfurt dominated all phases of the game. They outgained the Surge 433 yards to 171 in offense, which is a pretty big difference. And Frankfurt had a pretty balanced rushing attack. They were led by Amelin, Rodney Sullivan, and a couple of other people contributed as well. Sullivan continued his stellar season. He went 14 of 21 for 206 yards. Mahoganu, I think his name is, I apologize. He got 177 yards and a touchdown receiving. He also scored a touchdown recovering a fumble in the end zone. That was a bit of a bizarre play as well. Basically, a running back fumbled, the ball went into the end zone and he jumped on it, and hence that was a touchdown. I actually thought the rule was that if you fumble into the end zone, it was only the player who fumbled could recover the touchdown. But I might be wrong. Anyway, well, I am wrong. Surge quarterbacks Aaron Ellis and Winterlich, they were under pressure all game long. They got sacked 9 times and there were 27 tackle for losses in this game for Frankfurt. And this came from a defense, don't forget, that's lost 2 starters, including Cadell King. So I thought the defense might struggle a wee bit, but it did not at all. So this was total domination by the Galaxy in preparation for a huge game this week against the Sea Devils. My MVP, Mahoganu, 177 yards receiving and 1 touchdown, and obviously the 1 fumble recovery touchdown. Surge play, as Joe said, the Kings next week.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, have Frankfurt done enough to push themselves into that number 1 in the power rankings after that game?
I think so. They're still playing quite strong. Hamburg have 2 games now where they have been really close, whereas Frankfurt just blew the Surge out. So I think Frankfurt might do it this week.
Yeah, we're going to find out this week, aren't we, who is the number 1 team?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to find out what time it's on so we can let all our listeners
It is know. At, I think, was it 3 o'clock? It's on my birthday, so this is a... It's going to be a birthday surprise for me. 2 p.m. GMT or BST, And that's 3 o'clock European.
That works out for my weekend so well, because that's like the one game I'll definitely be able to watch.
Yeah.
And I've got a prediction as well that our guest tomorrow is going to say that Frankfurt are going to win this game.
I mean, water is wet.
No, but yeah. Well, what are the other games? Yeah, like you said, we've got Barcelona versus Cologne.
Good game.
Yeah, that's the resurgent Dragons against the Cologne Centurions, who have broken that top three. Then you got the Kings versus the Surge. So I mean, we'll probably see a Birdsong beat down. But it's a chance for the Surge to really show what they are.
I tell you what, something I was mentioning earlier about how the Kings and the Panthers could be quite close. They play each other on the last day. So that could be a game to look forward to.
Absolutely. So yeah, let us know what you think the Frankfurt are in your power rankings. Who do we think the MVP is then for this week?
I personally quite liked Adam's kicker option. I don't know if that's...
He most certainly won that game for the Panthers.
But Madre.
I was going to say, but Birdsong.
So it depends what we define as most valuable player. If it's the player that's most valuable to his team, it's got to be Birdsong. Because without him, they were losing. With him,
you just said that the reason the Cologne beat the Panthers was basically on Madre's head. And then Hamburg would not have won without Anderson.
It's tough. I tell you what, though. I think Birdsong's played twice this year, I think.
Yeah, yes.
And they've won both games. Granted, both against the Thunder, but he's still 2-for-2. And I think that's a big MVP.
Please.
Sure, let's give Birdsong the MVP.
Yeah, go on.
About it next
bit week. Of sentimental to it as well, so it's a nice one.
And also he's on next week, so it's yeah. Nice to hear.
Keep him sweet.
But yeah, any other things we want to discuss about the games coming up, about the league?
I think, I mentioned it without saying his name, but we've got Cadell King on tomorrow. We're going to do a bit of a review of the whole season and see how it went from a player's perspective. He had a season-ending injury, so that's not great. But obviously, he's going to give us good insights into how things are working. I think as well, there's a lot of people starting to pay attention to the league, even outside of just us. Other American broadcasts are starting to talk about it now. Different leagues are mentioning players that are playing in it. So I think it's picking up steam.
I think it's definitely, like, this far into the season, it's definitely looking like it was advertised. It's a competitive league between European teams. The import rules work well. The teams are all a certain level. Like, hopefully the next 2 or 3 years when they start expanding, hopefully it keeps it up, because then it's going to have such a good traction.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think they've sold over 10,000 tickets for the final as well, which is huge.
Well, a guy on the Kings was telling me they had like over 140,000 viewers for their game, which is nuts.
That's unbelievable.
It's crazy. Like, accumulating over the whole of the season, that's going to be millions and millions of people.
It's good for them. And yeah, if you aren't watching already, you should. It's absolutely great.
Yep.
You can find all our stuff on our social media, which you can find at Joe.
Yes, our Twitter and Instagram is at TAFS_UK. That's TAFS_UK. Our Facebook is That American Football Show. Our YouTube, if you're watching now, sure you can see us. However, if you are watching on YouTube and sometimes you can't watch the videos, make sure to check out our podcasts, where these episodes are also there.
I want to give a shout out to one of my favourite followers of ours on Instagram, Justin Rogers' mum. She's lovely. So,
absolutely, yeah. She sent us a lovely message.
She did.
But yeah, please leave us any feedback, any comments you've got. As I always say, we want to be what you want to listen to. So let us know what you want to listen to. We've got a couple of really good interviews coming up, as Tim said, so make sure you keep your eyes and ears out for them. Thank you everyone for listening. Make sure you head over and check out our friends at EP Sports for all your NFL and different leagues, and we will see you next week.
Roger that.